What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today we have episode 200, very, very special episode. I have JM Bruno Fitness, JM Lips Fitness, my lovely wife on the podcast today. And we're going to talk about just whatever. I mean, just us kind of going through, I say us, I know, us going through this pregnancy. That's not fair. I don't feel that way at all. I feel like you're going through this pregnancy. And so, yeah, why don't you just say hello to the lovely people and how are you doing today?
Hello to the lovely people. It's funny because I just asked you a couple days ago. I was like, we should do a podcast together pre-childbirth and, you know, talk all things pregnancy. And then maybe we can do another one after we have the baby. And it just so happens that it's episode 200.
Yeah,
so.
Just to see how wrong we were and listen to this back. I remember doing my pre-race podcast for my run. And then as soon as I like hit stop on the recording, I was like, I just like, it's gonna be funny like listening to this back and like thinking about how it didn't go at all according to plan or whatever. So that might be the same like this. What we're gonna do is you collected some questions from your Instagram. I have some questions as well. We kind of put them together and we'll just go back and forth. We're gonna both answer all of these questions. Some of them are just specifically about you, so I'm gonna ask them to you. And so I'm gonna kick things off. Jenna, what is something that you wished someone told you about being pregnant before?
I feel like there's a long list of things that I was just not prepared for. When you think of pregnancy, it's funny because when you think of pregnancy, you think of like this beautiful change that's happening and this miracle that you're growing inside of your belly, which it 1000% is. Like, it is an absolute miracle and just something well beyond anything I can ever fathom that my body is creating right now. But there are so many things that I was like, wow, I wish someone would have told me that, you know, morning sickness is not just morning sickness. It's all day sickness, that you're going to have serious food aversions, that certain smells are going to trigger you and are going to make you gag. And there's just like a long, long list of things that I've experienced that I had no idea was something that I would experience throughout pregnancy. I think the morning sickness was the biggest one for me. It was all day sickness. And it didn't last, you know, just the first trimester. It lasted well into my second trimester. And even still to this day, like, there's some mornings that I've come downstairs that I'm like, I'm 37 weeks pregnant and I just brushed my teeth and I'm still gagging. So just things like that, that I was just not prepared for whatsoever. I think those ones definitely stand out the most to me.
What about, I'll piggyback on this one. There's another question. Is what was your weirdest craving? And I will kick this off with the fried rice craving to me, like, sticks out. Like, we've been together for, I mean, I joke with you, but what, 7 years now? I don't think you've ever been like, Jordan, I need fried rice. And I think you were, whatever, maybe first, second trimester, and you were like, I need fried rice. And I was like, all right, babe, we'll get it for dinner. Like, no problem. Like, let's get Chinese. Like, all good. And you're like, no, I need it now. And it was like 11:30 in the morning. And I was like, okay, like, if you want to order, you can. You're like, no, I already ordered it. It's on the way. I was like, okay, all right, sounds good. Like
that, and when we first moved here, we got dinner with another couple. And we sat down, and I was only about 6 weeks pregnant at that point. And I'll never forget, we sat down in the restaurant. I ordered a Diet Coke. And you literally looked at me, and you were like, I've known you for 6 years, and never have you once ordered a Diet Coke, like, ever. I don't think you've ever once seen me drink a soda, but we were at a restaurant and 6 weeks pregnant, I needed a Diet Coke and I ordered a Diet Coke. But yeah, definitely the fried rice stands out, mashed potatoes for a little while. And then we joke because I was ordering from Starbucks every single morning. I was ordering the same exact thing every single morning, and it was the same Uber Eats delivery guy, to the point where we were like, let's just invite him for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah,
because
yeah, that's good.
He has been to our house every morning for like 3 weeks straight, delivering me my blueberry muffin and my iced peach green tea lemonade from Starbucks.
Yeah, that's funny. Wow, that feels like a long time ago. Like, we like knew his name. Like, I literally would like get up and like walk the dogs and like come down, and there'd be like a knock on the door, and I'd be like, oh, there's, you know, whatever.
Winston.
Yeah, it was Winston for a while. Winston. Yeah, every single day. Yeah, that's funny. And then they changed to a different driver, and we were like, I wonder if Winston's okay. Like,
I was worried about him. Yeah. I was genuinely concerned. And there was a moment of time where I was like, maybe I should just leave him a note and let him know, like,
know.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm just pregnant,
right.
And I have these cravings.
I don't have a problem.
I swear I'm like not lazy. I could totally get up and go get myself food, but it's just more convenient to have Winston deliver it every single morning.
All right, your turn.
Okay. What are you most nervous about being new parents?
Yeah, this was the most asked question for sure. I've been asked this before, and I always get like the question triggers me, and I'll talk about that quickly. Like, that question triggers me just because I am nervous about stuff, but I don't know. I'll say it triggers me because I'm way more excited. And I know you didn't mean it this way, whoever asked this question, but I'm way more excited than I am nervous. So there are certainly things I'm nervous about. I have that like deep, low lying level of like, I don't want to mess my kid up sort of stuff. Like, how am I going to talk to her about, you know, food, relationship with food. And obviously what I do, I look through the world through that lens. So I'm like, I want her to have a good relationship with her body and feel confident and be independent. And, you know, what I want her to be, you know, intelligent and smart and kind and, you know, whatever. You want your kid to be great. So what am I nervous about? Like, messing that up, you know? But I'm way more overwhelmed with excitement. I feel like if I spend too much time in the nervousness state of mind, I don't know, it brings me down. Like, I'm way too pumped up to meet her. Like, I'm way too pumped up to like read to her and just whatever, be a dad, like, and figure it out. I have no clue what that's going to be like. But so when someone's asked, what am I most nervous about? I don't know. I'm not like whatever nerves there are just like massively overweighed by excitement. Of course I'm nervous about all the normal things, but they just don't take up a lot of my brain power. I just feel like I'm super duper excited to meet her. And I think you're going to be a great, great mom. And I just feel like I feel like I want to give her a nice upbringing. And I just feel like she's going to, I feel like we're going to do a good job. I don't, not perfect, obviously. And I will preface this entire podcast with, we have no fucking clue what this is going to be like. I feel like that too sometimes, or like, if you're going to make a podcast before you, like, whenever I talk about like being a dad or whatever, like, I need to preface with, I don't know. This is not two people, right? You as well. This is not two people sitting here thinking that they know. We do not know. We don't know. Everyone listening to this, if you have kids, you might be listening, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. You're right. We don't. But here we are, just kind of projecting and just, I don't know, in the moment, kind of documenting how we feel. So yeah, most nervous about, I don't even know, the normal stuff, all on a low level, all massively outweighed by excitement.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. I think the only thing that I worry, and I guess the word worry is a better word than I'm nervous about, because I don't know. I worry about school and social media and just the world that our kids iPad are growing time. Up in.
Yeah.
It would break my heart to ever see her be bullied, or, I mean, I would hope this never happens, but that she is a bully, or that social media is something that she's, you know, is on Instagram and she's playing this comparison game. And like Jordan said, you know, she's struggling with body image issues from a very early age. Like, those are things that I worry about. But I mean, like you said, our excitement is just completely, completely outweighs any sense of nervousness that I have.
Yep. Cool. My turn. What is an underrated piece of / item you think you're going to get a lot of use out of that you're excited about? Like, I guess they mean something like off the registry that you think you're, you know, if, I guess if somebody else was like making a registry that you're like, oh, don't forget that. The irony is that like, we don't know, you know what I mean? Like, this question's better after, you know, we are parents of like, yeah, that was really clutch. But is there something that you think is like a little underrated that you're like, yeah, that's going to come in clutch?
I have no idea, because I don't know what products are going to work for us. What works for one family and one baby might not work for another. But I think something that was a no-brainer for me on the registry was getting the Newton breathable mattress. I guess my brain just goes to like my EMS world of a baby who somehow turns themselves over in the middle of the night and they're face down and they suffocate. That's
really, really bringing the positive energy.
Yeah, here, sorry. That's terrifying to me. So having a mattress that I know, God forbid, she were to roll over and be face down, she can 100% breathe through the mattress, seems like an absolute no-brainer, must-have item. So that one definitely is probably top of my list. And then just having like a really good quality monitor. Like, I'm going to do everything in my power to have eyes and ears on her 24/7. But just knowing that I have a good monitor that I can, you know, should I be downstairs for a second washing bottles or whatever, and she's upstairs taking a nap, I have a really good monitor that can monitor her and mm-hmm. keep, you know, a second set of eyes on her. That's super important. So we did end up getting the Nanit, which was highly recommended by a lot of other moms and has really great reviews.
It's expensive?
It depends which one you get. Like, you can get the one that just sits on like a...
Right. And on a countertop or something?
Yeah, yeah, like on a dresser or like an end table, and it looks kind of through the crib. That one, I think, is the cheaper option. I think it's probably...
Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember we were making this choice. I don't
know, $99 to $200, $100 to $200. But the one that we ended up getting was just the wall mount, which was so unbelievably easy to mount.
Really? You didn't do it. I didn't do it. Your dad did it.
But I helped him.
Okay.
But it's so unbelievably easy to mount. That would have... Yeah, we could have figured that one out. We're not the most handy, but so I think investing in a really good monitor, and then, like I said, that breathable mattress was just an absolute no-brainer. And then, of course, like a car seat, but I don't know, I feel like the car seats, people are like, you have to get this one, you have to get that one. Like, they've obviously all gone through safety ratings and safety course, like they put them through tests to make sure that they're safe for your child. So feel like you really can't go wrong, but just from my own research, and then you and I went and tested a couple of out.
I sat in them. They're super comfy.
Yeah, they're great. We ended up getting the Upa Baby Meza Max, so I will report back.
Yeah.
Maybe postpartum and let you know how those.
I'm sure it'll work fine. Working. It looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then my turn to ask you a question. Okay. This is definitely your wheelhouse. How do you think Gunnar and Callie will do with a new baby?
I think they're going to do great. I think I don't think that in some ways, like, not to get on the dog training, like, high horse or soapbox, but like, I don't know how they'll do immediately, right? They haven't, it's not like we have a lot of kids running around in the house. What I do know is that we know how, like, we have a relationship together, me, you, and them, that we will let them know how to act and react. In the last, like, 6 months leading up to the baby, we've been kind of upping the training a little bit, just from, like, exposure, you know, to, like, loud noises and to the vacuum and to being touched. You know, a toddler is going to play with their face, and they need to know that that's all right and not react in a negative way. And so whether or not they're perfect, right, like right out of the box, like when she gets here, they will be, because we know how to communicate to them what they should and shouldn't do. So I'm not worried about it one iota whatsoever. I can't wait to, I could cry when I think about the fact that she's going to grow up with them, like that she's going to know them and love them like we do. I mean, that's just awesome. And it's not like we got them just now, like, for her, that they're puppies, like, but they will, yeah, they're gonna, I mean, help us raise her is obviously, like, a totally weird way of phrasing it, and I don't mean it that way, but I don't know. I can't even imagine a world where she's with us and we're all together and she knows them, you know what I mean? That just, like, I don't know, that image just really makes me really excited. So I think they're gonna do great. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. You worried about it?
No, not worried for one second. I mean, from the day I think I found out that I was pregnant, I've always said to you, like, I'm so excited to take them out for a walk with her in the stroller. Like, that is just something that, like, I know that first walk, that's going to be super special to me. I don't know. There's something about taking your new baby out for a walk in the stroller with your two pups alongside. Real quick, what's your stance on...
Stop. Don't do it.
Yeah.
No, stop. Go ahead.
What's your stance on bringing...
Don't do... Go ahead.
Bringing something home from the hospital for your dogs to sniff.
Yeah, I don't...
That's
I don't,
a question that a lot of people have asked.
I don't have any stance on it. I just don't think... Again, these aren't even my thoughts. I work with one of my best friends is a dog trainer. Just... It's not that stuff is just... That's just not a substitute for, like, actually helping your dogs learn how to interact with this new, like, flesh baby thing.
Right.
So, yeah, if you want to do that, fine. Just don't think that that's, like... If you were like, wow, your dogs are so good with your baby, like, what'd you do? Like, that's not at the top of my list, but, like, yeah, if you want to do that, like, whatever, like, that's fine. Okay, next one. This one's for you. How has your training and exercise been throughout pregnancy? I know that we could do a whole podcast on this, so, well, maybe not. And that's such a, you know what's so funny? That's such a cliche podcast line. Like, yeah. Now that I just said that, the listener, you, are going to hear that everywhere. Like, it's so cliche podcast to be like, well, we can do a whole podcast on that. You know, like, sidebar, you know, big note, we'll do a whole podcast on that. It's like, anyway, I'll throw it to you. Maybe we can take it from, like, first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, and just kind of talk about, like, what you're doing now, 38 weeks, 37 weeks? What are you, 37 weeks?
37
and
a couple
yeah.
days.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. How's training been? And there's a million questions about your nutrition and tracking and macros and all that stuff. And so let's keep this just training related, and then we'll come to the nutrition side of stuff in a bit.
Training and exercise has completely taken a backseat. And if you would have asked me pre-pregnancy, what are your plans during pregnancy? It would be to continue to lift and train and make very minimal modifications, you know, for my growing belly. But that is just not, like, at all how things ended up going. I mean, first trimester, I was so incredibly sick. It started off with really bad implantation cramping. And then from there, it went to the nausea, the vomiting, the laying in bed. I had to be horizontal 24/7. If I wasn't horizontal, it was because I was running to the bathroom to throw up. Food aversions, like I said, like certain smells would trigger me and I would gag.
Yeah, it was really.
It was brutal.
Something.
So
it was really something.
You know, I hate to say it, but it was almost like survival mode the first trimester. It was miserable every single day. I was lucky if I, you know, got up out of bed and came downstairs for change of scenery. So exercise and training in the first trimester, it just did not happen. I can probably count on one hand how many times over the course of the first trimester I actually lifted a weight.
But you made an effort when possible to come for walks. I don't want to diminish just like going for a walk with the dogs and me and us like trying to go for our nightly walks. And, you know, yeah, structure training was not a huge priority, but you did make an effort to, like, you still knew it was important. And when there were opportunities to do something that you felt up for, I think you made that effort. And that's to me, like, you didn't round down to zero. You couldn't do a lot of stuff, but what you could do, I think you were up for. I think you made an effort to, like, at least in your mind, still know that it was important to try and do what you could, but at the same time accept, hey, this is not, it's not gonna look anything like my normal exercise routine.
Yeah, mentally I wanted to do things and I wanted to do whatever I could that felt right in that moment. So like you said, like, a lot of times it was just taking the dogs out for a walk, it was just taking myself out for a walk. But as far as, like, lifting goes, I mean, very, very minimal. If I lifted, it was, you know, one set of three exercises, and that was the end of it. That was
10-minute rest.
Yeah, that sets. Yes, yeah, that was awesome. All that I could handle. And then as second trimester started to roll around, I was on some anti-nausea medication because my symptoms were just so bad that I had, like, zero quality of life, it almost felt like, that I was able to start implementing some more training. So we even sat down, we wrote, like, a very low, like, low intensity training block that I did, I think maybe three times a week, if I was even up for it. Like, there was definitely weeks where I only did two training sessions as opposed to all three, but something was better than nothing. And as much as that sucked, because mentally I just, like, knew you could be doing more, you're better than this kind of mentality, it was just not in the cards for me. So I did what I could when I could, and I did my best with kind of the cards that I was dealt. And then as we progressed a little bit more into the second and into the third trimester, did my best to try and train, you know, three times a week, do whatever, again, whatever felt right in the moment, didn't hold myself to any crazy expectations. There was also times where, like, I would go in the gym and I didn't even track my workout. Like,
oh my God. I'd say most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there were moments where you looked like you were, like, trying to track it. And I was like, Jen, just, like, pick three or four exercises that you feel up for right now. Like, emotionally, mentally, you feel up for, that don't kind of contraindicate, like, being pregnant. Just, like, go in there and, like, work hard, but not too hard, you know? And that right. was a lot of times what it was. And I love that. I love that, like, playground mentality of, like, what am I in the mood for? Let me grab a stimulus. It's just, you know, doing it, like, straight up for health, for you. I was about to say her name. For you and the baby. And, yeah, that was it a lot of times. A lot, and people have asked, there's questions about, like, specific modifications you made. I did a podcast with Dr. Aaliyah, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where we talked a little bit more about exercise modification. So if you're interested in a little bit more in-depth chat on that, you know, you are pregnant or planning on being pregnant and want to know how to change your weightlifting, I would go listen to that. Towards the end of the podcast, we go through kind of some of those best practices. But yeah, I thought you did a good job. Again, it's been rough. I don't, this isn't like a woe is me. Like, I don't want all of like this, like all the sympathy and people feeling bad for you and us, but you had it rough, dude. Like, yeah, it was not fun. I say was as if it's over, but it wasn't super fun. You made the best of it. You did what you could. You tried. You're still trying, you know, going for walks, a couple sets, you know, on the weekends. Like,
yeah, I think more of my training now. I mean, I was pretty good with lifting for a little while, and I've kind of tapered off again just because my energy is kind of low. I'm uncomfortable. I'm out of breath after just like walking from here to the end of the, you know, across the room. But yeah, so a lot of my training now is just very, you know, maybe one day a week I lift, and then the rest of the week I do everything that I can to get outside for a walk. A lot of the time it's at the end of a work day, you and I will go out for a walk.
Yeah, you've been going by yourself lately, which is good.
To capitalize on nice, sunny, warmer days. And if I get home from work early, I'm like, okay, I'm going out for a walk, just because
fuck yeah,
I know it's good for me, not just physically and for the baby, but for my mental well-being as well. This might be a good opportunity for us to segue into, because we mentioned Aaliyah. So this is a question for you, because I think you kind of found her first and then passed her along to me, which has been a blessing. How did you find your pelvic floor therapist, and when did you start using her?
Yeah, so there was a moment where I felt like you were just like sick in the beginning and already not getting overwhelmed, but already starting to feel a little bit of overwhelm for all the things that you were going to have to figure out how to do. You know, like, how do you modify your training? What do we do about how much food you should be eating? You know, like all of the preparation for the baby, all of the like everything. And I thought to myself, like, this is my world, right? And I work mostly with women. I was like, you know what? Like, not I can kill two birds with one stone here, but like, I should really get, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to get even more understanding on whatever, training and nutrition during this time. Of course, I'm certified to work with people who are pregnant, but that doesn't mean I specialize in it. So anyway, I said to myself, I want to take a bunch of courses so that I can really help you. And of course, future people I might work with, but you specifically, you know, do things safely and effectively, right? And get the most out of training, understand how to discuss it with you, all that stuff. So I came across a couple of different either certifications or courses, and the people that I'll shout out here that I think do a good job. Brianna Battles has she has some free resources. Then there's the Mama Stay Fit, which is one that I think a lot of people know. And then Dr. Aaliyah is who we ended up working with one-on-one, which was, her Instagram is Box Wellness Co. And again, there's a podcast with her. If you want to learn more about her and all pelvic floor PT and like all that stuff, I would go listen to that podcast with her. She has a course called Before Birth, which is most of the time women who are pregnant take it. And it's like, you're preparing for birth, and it's like all the things you would need to know. But dude, you're working full time, and pregnancy was rough for you. And I was like, I'm going to take this course. It was funny. It's just funny because it's like a course on Zoom with her. And like, we show up on the first day, it's like a bunch of women. It's just literally just blatantly me. That's like not. And I was just like, hey guys, like, I'm taking this for my wife. Like, just don't worry about me, you know, like, I would recommend that you, look into this earlier rather than later. Like, duh, like, just generally general advice, like, get started on this, like, find somebody that you might want to work with earlier. But I don't think you need to be, again, in my opinion, I'd go listen to the podcast with Aaliyah, hear her say this, starting to kind of get with those people that you might want to be part of your like pregnancy and birth, get with those people soon, whether you use something like a doula or, you know, your night nurses, your nannies,
midwife,
like get with those pelvic floor PT, like try and get with those people early just so you can share that experience with them and get the most out of it. But I don't think you were doing a ton of very specific pelvic floor work until the third trimester. And that's when we started, you know, having little mobility routine here and there, having our breathing at night that we would do. And you still meet with Aaliyah, once a week just to talk through. Yeah, you know what's so funny? When it comes to coaching, it all comes down to, like, I'm not an expert at this, and I really value sitting with someone who is, so I can ask them all the questions, and I can get a really nice, thorough answer. And I feel like that's the relationship you have with Aaliyah, where like, yeah, it's not like you guys are doing physical therapy together. She gives you stuff to do in your own time, but just, I don't know about you, man, but like just having a professional to talk about pregnancy with and birthing with has been, we just did a call together and just talking about like how I can be involved and like, how else would we have got that information? Like where, who else was going to help us with like, hey, how does Jordan be useful, you know, and not just like, you know, be, you know, thrown up in the other, no, I'm just kidding, or whatever husbands do. I'm going to be that. I'm good.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm going to be useful.
There's a lot of like books that a lot of people will recommend that are like, read this book if you want to have like an unmedicated birth. Read this book if you want to just get a baseline knowledge on labor and delivery. And
that's true.
Here's some ways that your husbands can get involved. And, you know, I think, of course, they're helpful. But I think having somebody like Aaliyah that I can kind of, she's very much like a soundboard that I'm like, hey, this is my in my head, how I would like to labor and deliver. And she can kind of walk me through labor and delivery based off of what I have in my mind. And yeah, like you said, like you and I sat down with her yesterday and got to go through some things that we can do together and things that can get you involved. And I think that that's super important and very, very helpful, especially because this is our first baby. And I think reading books can be, like I said, they can be wonderful, but they're also just like, it's a ton of information and it becomes a little overwhelming. So to have somebody that actually specializes in pelvic floor, labor, delivery, and can help you navigate kind of everything that's going on with your body, your mind throughout that, you know, experience is super, super important.
I feel like people, so I talked about this, I had a Q&A today and that's somewhat of a non sequitur here, but what we're describing is like spending money to get on Zoom with somebody, like to talk about pregnancy and birth. And I just feel like there's some, like I, as you were saying, which you just put very well, if our mothers were sitting here, I just feel like, bless their hearts, I love them to death, but I just feel like they wouldn't really get what we just said. Like it just, that idea of like hiring a coach, you know, for anything, like is a bit more normalized in our generation. And I feel like bodes well. And there's another question about a night nurse here, which I also think if our parents are sitting here, they're like, what's that? You know, you don't need that. But I just feel like the way you described the value of having her, Aaliyah, it makes total sense. I mean, obviously I do that for a living, but like, it makes total sense to me that you, that it gives you peace of mind and it gives you somebody that you can ask questions to and have open-ended dialogue. Books are great, but they are one-ended. They're one way. You know what I mean? They're not open-ended. All right. I think we should have a quick nutrition chat. So people, a bunch of people are like, what are Jenna? Everything from like, what are Jenna's macros to, you know, how much more are you eating in the third trimester to like just generally what your nutrition has been like. So maybe you just kick it with like a little word vomit about like maybe how you have or have not thought about it throughout this process.
First trimester again was definitely a survival mode kind of thing, and I didn't think about my nutrition. I take that back. I did think about it, but it wasn't something that was going to change in that moment. Like I was going to eat what I could and what I could keep down.
I think we had a saying, extra points for nutrients.
Yeah.
And so like you were just like in a I'm going to eat whatever I need to, but like extra points for like a nutrient, which is just like whatever, a fruit, a vegetable, like a bowl of blueberries or something.
We laughed the first day. I think you were upstairs doing work and I had texted you. I said, I just ate an apple. And like that was like a big deal because I had not eaten a nutrient in weeks because the only thing that I could stomach was mashed potatoes, blueberry muffin and like fried rice. I was just living off of carbs. And for a while I was struggling with that because I was like, I'm, you know, not nourishing my child in the way that she needs to be nourished and I'm eating all the wrong things and this is just not what I intended for my pregnancy. I always thought I would be the person that was continuing to eat whole nutrient dense foods, plenty of lean proteins. Like this just goes back to that first question of like, what did you wish people had told you, you know, early on? I wish I had known that I was not going to be continuing to eat these foods because I just couldn't. So first trimester was definitely rough. It was a matter of just kind of eating what you could when you could and what you could keep down. And then more so into the second trimester, those nutrient dense foods, high protein foods started to kind of make their way back in. It wasn't all at once. It wasn't like I just woke up one morning and I was eating, you know, the way that I used to eat. It was definitely more gradual, but I was just adding those foods in when I felt I could. And then I would say about midway through my second trimester and then all of my third trimester, it's been most of my meals are exactly what they were prior to pregnancy, where, you know, plenty of fruits and vegetables, always a lean protein, and then my snacks and my fun foods kind of as I want them.
I think that you're I need to be eating several hundred more calories in third trimester is not something. The funny part is both that you and I come from like we've tracked for many years prior to our recent life. But like even hearing that, I thought I was like, oh, like we might want to track for that. Like, but I feel like it's been quite intuitive. I feel like we've been intuitive, you know, whatever, mindful. Like, I feel like it's been something we didn't have to micromanage. And I feel like there's things that people, I'm not saying that everybody is like going to have that scenario like you and I. Some people might want to micromanage that increase in calorie intake. So other people are already eating more than they need to be eating, you know, from first trimester, they're like, I'm eating for two. It's like, that's not necessarily how that's supposed to go. But I don't feel like it was something we micromanaged. I feel like you've been eating like, I don't know, if you just like eat a normal day of your food and then have like a snack at some point, like you get there. And monitoring just your weight trends over time, there was a period you were worried that you weren't gaining weight, but every time we go to the OB, like it's just fine. Let me ask you a follow-up. Like, is there a part of you, even 0.001%, that like was, I don't know, conflicted about gaining weight? Like where you're like, you know, you have to gain weight, obviously. But like when you were not gaining weight, I know that you were voicing to me that you were nervous about that you were supposed to be gaining weight. But was there even a remote part of you deep down that was like, oh yeah, I'm not gaining weight. Like this would be easier to hashtag bounce back or whatever. Like, did that live inside you as well?
Maybe like you said, like 0.001%, you know, you, as a woman, like most women are so set on a number and, you know, you see that number on the scale go up. I knew the day I got pregnant, I'm going to gain weight. I'm growing a baby. My body, my blood volume is going to increase. There's a baby in there. There's amniotic fluid. You're growing a new organ. Your placenta weighs something. Like, there's just a lot of, you know, variables. Like, I was going to gain weight and I was totally okay with that because I have wanted to be a mom since I was a little girl. And like, this just outweighed any weight gain that I was going to gain. Like, But then there's definitely moments where I look in the mirror and I just don't, I want to word this carefully. I want to say I don't recognize myself because I'm not the person that I was pre-pregnancy, but of course you're not the person you were pre-pregnancy. You're growing and housing and protecting and nourishing a beautiful life. And so there was definitely a period of time where, like you said, you know, I wasn't gaining any weight. And I step on the scale just because I'm kind of curious, like how my body's changing. I'm not stepping on the scale to be like, oh fuck, you know, I gained another pound this week. Like, who, excuse my language, but like, who fucking cares? I just don't care.
Mary's gonna be upset.
I know. Yeah. Sorry, mom. Yeah. But I really just don't. Weight gain was just not something that really crossed my mind too much. But yes, seeing your body transform in a way that you've never ever experienced before, I would be lying if I said that hasn't been hard, especially since my training has changed so much. Go ahead. As far as weight gain goes, like, I don't know. I just don't put too many eggs in that basket because this is not the end for me. Like, once she's born and I start feeling more like myself again, I can get back into the gym when I'm ready and I can start, you know, incorporating training again. I can, you know, get a sense of my normalcy back. I don't want to say get my life back because I never lost my life, right? Like,
but you'd be well within your rights to be like, I it's funny, the language is tricky because I see you even kind of like tiptoeing around the facts are like, your body has gone through a crazy change. You've had to change your lifestyle a lot. There are things that you really like doing that you stopped doing. And to say, I'd like to go back to doing those things, and then maybe I'd even like to go back to feeling like my old self. I don't think there's, again, I've had I've been thinking about this sort of stuff a lot, of like, there's nothing wrong with you wanting to do that. There's nothing wrong with you being like, I want to go back to my old self. The only time it might tip over into like, yeah, that maybe isn't the most mentally healthy mindset to be in, is if you don't also bake in the assumption that you, or the knowledge that you won't ever actually go back to exactly who you were before. That just like physical changes that are, you know, some, you know, unless you're like genetic freaks that are the 1% on Instagram, they're like, I'm 8 months or I'm 8 weeks postpartum. And they're like, you know, shredded stomach, like no excess skin, like no stretch marks, no body fat. And so I don't, there's nothing, I was listening to you tiptoe through that. There's nothing, should be no guilt with you being like, hey, when she gets here, like, I look forward to training again and feeling muscular and strong again, and all of that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, but we've also talked about, like, or at least you've talked about, like, bounce back culture. Like, I guess I don't want to be on that extreme of, like, got to bounce back and got to get my body back, you know, because I just had a baby. Like, that's not what I'm after either. Yeah. Like, I'm just after moving my body again and getting back into a little bit of a sense of a routine, because I don't have that right now. But this, you know, we've kind of went off a little bit on a tangent here because we were talking about weight gain.
Sure, but you're an elite athlete. We talked with our friend Ocean on the podcast. Like, you both were elite athletes, super muscular, mega strong, and without it sounding superficial, like, part of your identity, which I know because this is what I do as well, is like, was part of your identity was being super strong, muscular, in the gym, lifting heavy, like, part of your identity. There's nothing wrong with saying that. And so, yeah, that is part of your identity, that knob is turned down right now, and you're looking forward to turning it back up. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's awesome.
Yep.
Follow-up question, and you can go, is like, you know what I think? Here's what I think sometimes. When you're at work, I think, in a nice way, it makes me smile that, like, you guys are hanging out. You and our baby are, like, together and hanging out. Do you feel like, of course, this is stupid and I'm just being whatever? Like, of course you haven't gotten to know her while she's in your belly. But, like, does that – can you really deeply feel that connection already exist just from, like, you spending every day together, you know, like, all day? You guys are always together. And that just, like – I just think about that. I'm like, you guys are already together, like – you're always with her. Like, there's subtleties and nuances of, like, just her existing in you that, like, is that bond already, like, crazy?
I think there's definitely a little bit of a bond there. Like, it is just me and her, and it's literally me and her, and I've got to keep her to myself a little, you know, selfishly for the last 9 months. Like, she is, of course, she's ours, but she's been mine, and it's wild to me, like, we were sitting on the couch yesterday and she was moving and just, like, watching my body move, like, feeling her move has been my favorite part of pregnancy. And just being able to say, this is her little hiney over here and her little legs and her feet are over here. And just, like, knowing where she is and knowing, you know, if I drink something cold, she's going to start moving. So just kind of, like, knowing, like, little tiny things about her is definitely special. But I know that there is no, the bond that I'm going to have with her when she is born is just nothing like I have with her right now. Like, yeah, it's special because she's just mine and she's in my belly and we do spend all hours of the day together. But there's going to be something even more special when she's born, because in my belly, I can't see her and I can't touch her. And she's right there.
I know.
But I can't see her and I can't touch her. Yeah. And when she's born, and I get to see her and I get to touch her, I just know that bond and the love that I think I have for her right now is just going to be multiplied. And I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay.
We'll do a couple more. We're at 40 minutes. We'll go another 5-10 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to put two into one. Did Jordan want a boy? And what is her name?
Jordan wanted a girl. And we will release her. I guess, you know, listen, we're not even like, you know, it's funny. Now I feel like we're those people that are like, we're not going to tell her name till she's born. It's going to be this big surprise. And we didn't mean for it to be like that. But, like, there's one kind of funny reason, which I'm sure we'll share on Instagram at some point, as to, like, why we haven't told our family what her name is. And when that happens, you know, whatever, it's somewhat of an inside joke, but we'll share it. It's not complicated. But I wanted a girl, and I'm not saying dogs are babies. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You guys know I love my dogs more than fucking anything else in the world. But I'm not saying that they are babies. But I will say that even just having a boy and a girl dog, you see that I'm different with them.
Yep.
And like they are, you know, Callie's my little sweet little baby pee angel baby who like can do no wrong. And Gunner is Gunner, man. Gunner is like I want to come back as Gunner in my next life. This dog loves everything. He's just like a little herp derp. He's just like, he's like,
happiest.
He's just like a happy boy. Like, but I already feel, yeah, I feel like, just having a boy and a girl dog, I just know that like there's that like special bond, I think, between like dad and daughter. Again, I don't, I'm not saying that they're humans for the 38th time. And I will say on the record, this past weekend, I went to N1 hypertrophy camp and I stayed with Brian Borstein and his family. And he has a 6-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl. And like, I think it's funny because he asked me almost immediately when I got there, he was like, hey, have you spent a lot of time with kids? Whatever, he knows we're about to have a baby. And I was like, actually, it's funny you asked. Like, I haven't. I have no children in my family at all. There's been no, like, I'm not an uncle. I don't have young baby cousins. Nobody around me has had babies. I haven't, you know, we laugh. I have, like, no experience with babies whatsoever. Or toddlers. Or, like, young kids, whatever. But, like, spending, you know, three, four nights with Brian and his kids, like, just, like, his daughter just kills me, man. Just, like, absolutely, like, I was, like, it was a sign. I'm not like trying to make it out to be more than it was, but I felt like it was a sign. I text you at some point. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I can't wait to have our daughter. I can't wait to meet her. I can't wait to help her with whatever her colors. And I can't wait to like look for like, where's Waldo with her and like, whatever, read to her. And yeah, his daughter is absolutely out of control. Just adorable. And I texted you. I was like, yeah, this is like, this was meant to be right on the cusp of like, that was the most time. I know that we weren't even home most of the day, but like the kids had a 4-day snow day. So we were home. You know, they were home all day. And that was like the most time I'd ever spent with like even a young kid. I know she's 4 years old. It's not the same as a toddler or it's not the same as an infant or whatever. But anyway, thought that was funny. Felt that was kind of meant to be. Definitely solidified that like I can't wait to be a girl dad. And I would love a boy too. We talked about this. I would love a boy. I mean, we got Gunner. I mean, again, not the same thing. But I would love a boy too, you know, I think. And somebody else asked, are you guys planning on having more? That's the plan, I guess, you know, like, it's not like, I hate like pretending like we know, like the plan is, yeah, we'd like to have another, right? I mean, that's the plan. It's like, we're having this conversation now for the first time. You're like, wait, what? The plan is to have one more, right? But, and that'd be great if it was a boy. I'd love that.
Yeah. But I feel like with this question, like when we talked about having kids, before we even started trying for a baby, we had always said our first baby would be a girl. Like, we almost, like, I hate to say we spoke it into existence because of course we didn't, but like Jordan and I would always talk about our first baby, and our first baby was always a little girl. Yeah. Always. And it was funny because right before we did like our little private gender reveal at home, like we just pulled up the computer and looked at the genetic or the blood results. A part of me was like, fuck, like we never even considered the baby being a boy.
Yep,
so I was like, oh my God. I was like, what if it's a boy?
We were really mentally prepped for a girl. I actually had it in my head 100% that it was a girl.
So last minute I was like, okay, maybe it's a boy. Because I was like, you need to like mentally just like be prepared just in case it is. Which of course we would have loved, we would love to have a son someday as well. But you know, just it was always a little girl. And I saw the result first and my heart just exploded because I knew how badly you wanted a little girl. And as long as we had a happy, healthy baby, that's all that mattered. But just that kind of the plan that we had before we even started trying was... it's coming true.
Let's end on the, are you going to breastfeed? You're going to try. Go ahead. Are you going to breastfeed?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. Right. That's why we are going to meet with our lactation consultant in the hospital and figure all of that out. Yes, the plan is to breastfeed. I have breast pumps, assuming, you know, it all works out, which I'm hoping it does. I would love to breastfeed.
That's the plan.
But a fed baby is a happy baby. So if it doesn't work out, yeah, then
I feel like there's guilt around this sometimes with mothers. If it doesn't work out, I want there to be no guilt at all. You're right. Going to try. And I, first of all, love that you want to do it. And I love that you want to try, but like it is what it is. Like you do your best. It's all good.
I also know it's like a lot of work, and I know pumping is a lot of work, and
yep.
that it consumes a lot of your time.
Yep.
But I also don't know how I'll handle it all or how well it will go until I'm actually in it. So like most things, I have no fucking clue how yep. it's going to go, but we're going to give it a try anyway. I think this might be our last question.
Yeah, last one.
You mentioned a night nurse. I'm not even sure what that is. Can you explain?
Right. So I've mentioned, so I don't want to go too long on this one. It could be kind of long, but like I'll start with the preface of like, we don't have any family here. So first of all, I'll start with like people raise babies on their own in much more challenging situations. And there will be a layer of privilege around this conversation. Like there's no escaping it. Being able to have the luxury of hiring a night nurse for a couple nights a week is a luxury. It is factually a luxury. I mean, it's expensive as shit. But our thought was, you know, as of right now, you have 8 weeks maternity, but then as of now, again, I'm open to everything. As of now, you're going to go back to work. I'm going to work. I work from home. And you know, I couldn't take in some ways some time off. It's just not a typical job where you just be, I'm just taking 4 weeks off. I'll see you then.
But you don't get paternity leave.
Right.
It's not
right.
like you have a job.
That's I know, but a counter could be that I could do it if I could give it to myself in some way. And so I will try. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be less active on social media. That's going to be the knob that I'm turning down right away. The way I see my job, not that this was at all your question, but like there's two parts of my job. There's one just servicing clients that already pay me. That's my group and my one-on-one clients. And then there's all the things that I do to acquire more customers, customer acquisition. And that's basically like social media, podcasts. Like I don't get any money for that, but the point is to like grow your brand and all that. So that's going to be the stuff that I'm going to do less. And I'm just going to make sure that my clients still get my A1 kind of best effort. So night nurse. So what is a night nurse? Night nurse is like basically somebody, a nurse that comes to your house at night. Imagine that. Let's say from like 10 to 6, so like 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. so that the parents can sleep. And basically what will happen is she'll be here at night. And when the baby wakes up, she'll bring the baby to you. You'll breastfeed. This is how we're planning on it going. And then after you do that, you can go back to sleep and mom can get some sleep and dad can get some sleep. And even if it's just that, even if it's like, hey, here's somebody who's going to take care of your baby so you can get some sleep. Like there's mega value in that. We don't have any family here. And again, people raise kids all the time without any of this shit. So it's a privilege for sure. But it's going to be awesome to get some sleep. And I'm happy to that's something I see value in and paying for so we can get some sleep. But circling back to something else we talked about was the coaching aspect is I'm partially excited to figure it out with you, Jen. You know what I mean? Like I'm excited for like the figuring it out part, but like, I'm also excited to like have some freaking help in the beginning to be like, hey, this is how you do this. This is how you, get your baby on something that even resembles a sleep schedule, you know, like get your baby on a schedule. Here's how you can make it so that they sleep through the night as soon as possible, which every baby's different. And it could take X amount of weeks and months and, you know, months and months and months potentially, but I really like can air quotes like sleep better at night knowing that we have somebody coming who's gonna like again be that person that we can ask a question to. Hey, this is what do you think of this? You know, like what does this mean? You know, when should we? What's the best order of operations in terms of organizing this? And so I just like again that to me. Our mothers as like let's say a representation of a generation above might be like that's not something you need help with. Like your family should help with that maybe. And maybe that would be the case if we lived back in Jersey, but there is no one here that we can call upon. And so, yeah, listen, it's mega expensive. We're trying to do it as little as possible to get the maximum benefits. It's a couple nights a week sort of thing. Yeah, but I really value the coaching aspect. And there's a close friend of mine who had a baby recently. It was like, dude, pay for the night nurse. And do it a couple nights a week, not just for sleep, but for somebody, if you have no family around, somebody who, and again, what's funny with the family thing, I'm going to wrap this up in a second, but like, I love our family and I want their help and I welcome, I might eat these words, but yep. I welcome their suggestions on stuff, you know, I welcome their opinions. at baseline, as so long as they we have an understanding of like, yeah, like this is my baby, like, all that stuff. But I always crack up because like somebody posted this. It was like a meme the other day of like once parents become grandparents, they immediately like think they are parents again. And I'm not, again, I don't know this situation yet, but I could see how that could happen where, you know, our moms are go back to their motherhood and it makes it like reminds them of that time. And they are like,
I did this thing 30 years ago and it worked for you. So it's going to, you should try
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And I don't want to shit on that, by the way, because there's like traditions that have been passed down for hundreds of years that are great. And I'm down with that. But it is also nice to know that there will be people that we can talk to this night, the night nurse, that's like on the pulse of maybe how things are done these days or things that maybe weren't available back then, and get a little bit more of that up to date sort of advice. But I value all of it. I'm just saying, like, I crack up. Of course, it's like a meme version of the parents who become grandparents and then all of a sudden think they know how to, they know everything there is to know about parenting because they did it, you know? Like, it's like, yeah, that experience, you know a ton. I'm welcoming their advice and opinions for sure. But there's, it will also be nice to have another person in our lives that we can talk to
about. Yeah, and this is going back to the last question about breastfeeding. Like, this is somebody who is now, you know, you get your lactation consulting in the hospital for 24 to 48 hours that you're in there, and then you go home and you're on your own, right? Of course, you can call your pediatrician, you can call your doctor, and you can get some more help. But just having somebody in my home with me where I am in like my safe, comfortable space to help me navigate breastfeeding and all the things is super important. So I definitely look forward to that too.
Yeah. All right. And anything pressing that we missed? I'm sure there were other questions, but we can't hit them all. Maybe we do a part two and how parenting is going, you know? We'll do it sleep deprived.
Yeah. We'll do it. Well, maybe not sleep deprived.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, we'll do it night after the night nurse. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, cool. I think we covered everything that
nice. Well, thank
all the questions
you
that we got.
Thank you for thanks for coming upstairs, and I thought this setup was nice. We should do this more often. Yeah, I thought it was gonna be a pain in the butt, but it's not a pain at all. So that was super fun. We should do this more.
It worked out.
Yeah.
Next right. one, we'll have a little baby with us.
Oh yeah, so I'm sure she'll contribute a lot to the podcast.
She'll love that.
Shit her pants while they're podcast. All right. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.